To the US this morning, where prosecutors are pushing the death sentence for the gunman who killed 17 people at the Parkland High School in Florida in 2018. The trial of Nicholas Cruz is a rare case of a murderer surviving a mass shooting and making it to court to face a jury. In the aftermath of the tragedy, we spoke to then 17-year-old student Nikita Nukala, who survived the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas School. She's now about to start medical school in Tampa, and Nikita joins us now. Welcome to RM Breakfast, Nikita.
Hey, good morning.
It's been more than 4 years since that devastating shooting. Did you think this day would ever come?
So it's been a long time coming. We obviously knew there was going to be a trial, but it's kind of surreal to see it actually happen in real life. But yeah, it's bringing a lot of things back for this community.
The trial began yesterday. How have you been feeling leading up to it? Have you been in touch with other survivors?
Yeah, we talk occasionally. Like, we send a few like coverage articles and things like that, see what's going on. But it's all stuff that we've kind of seen. A lot of the headlines and things are triggering to some people, so we don't really like to talk about it too much. But it's a necessary process as part of our judicial process. So I'm glad to see that it's going on, but it's very public and it's kind of hard to avoid.
The prosecution is pushing for the death penalty. How do you feel about that? Is that something you feel like you can support?
So personally, I don't support the death penalty, for anyone, not just, you know, the shooter. It's a very tricky kind of moral situation for the government to be able to tell people who deserves to live, who deserves to die. For me, that's a bit much. But I do know that a lot of the victims' families have been pushing for the death penalty. And if that's going to bring peace to them, then so be it. It is legal in the state of Florida. But again, it's more expensive for taxpayers. It makes the process go on longer. There's an extensive appeals process for this, and it's going to drag it out. So for me personally, I don't really support the death penalty, but in this case, not supporting the death penalty means that the defense wins. So I think that's why a lot of people do support him being convicted of the death penalty in this case.
The court was shown footage from the shooting that hadn't been seen before. It was obviously quite distressing for the families. Somebody reportedly screamed, "Shut it off," as some of the audio was played. How closely are you watching the trial?
I don't watch it closely enough to watch any of that footage. I don't really wish to see any of that stuff. The few videos that we were spread around on social media, like just following the shooting, were very graphic, and that was enough for me to see once in my life. And I don't really want to see it again. So I can definitely understand the reactions of the victims' families being subjected to that kind of like videotapes. And, you know, the crime is heinous, the crime is graphic, that's what happened. So I see why they put it out, but yeah, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, this must be re-traumatising for all of the victims involved in this tragedy. Hard to watch. I can't imagine having to go through that again. How big an impact does that have?
You know, it's difficult because when they show videos and stuff, we all have very different memories attached to those hallways. Like, we were all in class the day before, like in the same classrooms that the shooting happened. So it's hard to see, but we just try to move on. You know, it's not really like at some point we do have to like live our life and not wallow in this forever. It's not something that should define us all. So I think that's what a lot of our community and the students who went there are trying to do.
The jurors chosen for this trial will visit your old school building, which is actually slated for demolition. Will you be happy to see it go?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be happy to see it go. It's a very tall building. It's taller than any of the other buildings on campus. They've built another one now that's the same height, so you can't really see it as much. But before, when I used to live around the area right before college, we could see it all the time. And it's like, it's hard to miss. It's very big. So I'm really glad to see it go. I think it'll help a lot of the students and the teachers move on from the incident and be able to like reassociate new memories with the school. It's really a wonderful place. Like, I really love my time at Douglas. So I hope that that will bring closure to a lot of people.
Months ago, I spoke to a Columbine survivor following the shooting in Texas. She told me about how hard it was to constantly block out the frequent coverage of shootings more broadly, not just references to the one that you may have gone through, but all this coverage. What's your strategy for coping with the constant news of shootings in the United States?
You know, there's really no way to avoid it. News is everywhere these days. It's on all forms of social media. And because I'm involved in a community that is so deeply impacted by gun violence, that kind of stuff proliferates more in our community and in our like news feeds and things like that, just because of our interactions with advocacy groups and stuff. But it can be very difficult. So whenever these kinds of things happen, we do what we can mentally. I know some of my classmates were able to speak with the press and, you know, make statements after the Uvalde shooting. But I think a lot of us, the majority of people, were just like, no, like, we've had our time in the spotlight, but it's time to move on. And like, we are obviously very sad for everyone involved, and it should never happen to anyone, but we try to stay in the sidelines for these kinds of things.
Nikita, thank you for your time.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.